Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Thursday. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Hope you're doing all right. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago, is Danny Burke. And you can join us 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Numbers to get in. Follow us on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio, at Danny Burke 5, at Hail Varsity. Can email Chris at Hail Varsity. .com or loaded up. We'll talk plenty of recruiting this hour and next. Parker Gabriel, Lincoln Journal Star, going to be with us in about 15 minutes. Get into some Nebraska football and some recruiting with him. Greg Smith. How about Gregers? I can call him that now because he can't reach me and harm me. Greg Smith, Hail Varsity recruiting insider in 1 hour. And then we'll get caught up with Barney. Coach Gary Barnett, he is smiling. He might be wearing purple and black and silver as he's off to Indy to watch his Wildcats take on Ohio State. So loaded up, lots to get into, excited about it. So there's 100 different things we can go to, and recruiting will be pretty prevalent today. Michael Bruns, love old Brunsy, he put out information that Guy Thomas has asked for and received his scholarship release. That's a kid out of Florida that is kind of that off-the-bus prototype, long, lean, fast athlete off the edge. And Nebraska needs long, lean athletes off the edge to go get the quarterback based on how up and down their pass rush was last year. That's putting it nicely. So you wonder about that. We'll talk with Parker Gabriel about that. You still have a little less than 24 hours ago, you had the Big Ten offensive first, second, and third teams released. And there's just been some outcry, and I saw this Twitter poll out there. I think Husker Max did it. And we got into it a little bit. I know Derek Peterson was tremendous with his take on Adrian Martinez, and Adrian did such an incredible job for Nebraska football, just not only statistically, but where the team started that wasn't on him, but how they finished had a lot to do with him. It's a team. I get it. But the question out there, did Adrian Martinez deserve better than honorable mention? And you've had statistics thrown out there, stats are stats, and What the bottom line is with the I'm not condoning it, but you have some lifetime achievement stuff handed out. It happens with the Heisman. It happens with all-conference selection, okay? And it comes down to wins and losses. That is what penalized Adrian Martinez from becoming first, second, or third team All-Big Ten quarterback. That is what penalized Adrian Martinez and probably just nosed him out from freshman of the year. Purdue's at 6-6. They have the win over Ohio State. Rondale Moore is phenomenal. He's great. Is he a better freshman? He's a different position. You could argue that Adrian's responsibility and being an 18-year-old thrown into the mix, in transition, new coach, coming off a shoulder injury is way the hell more impressive with what he did leading Nebraska to at least a 4-8 record. There's not many things you can say that aren't impressive about Rondale Moore, okay? He kept the coach at Purdue. Winner, okay? I mean, that's pretty good. So we can get into a little bit of that. Are you upset about it, or are you kind of taking a step back as a Nebraska fan here that, okay, Adrian did get hosed, he did get shorted. You've had 12, 15, 24 hours to kind of digest it. I think it's going to work out okay. I think it's going to be used as motivation.
Chip on his shoulder.
A little bit, but Adrian strikes me as a guy who just wants to go win and play well. And if the awards happen, the awards happen. Because every guy who did the game on TV or every national analyst we talk to, or everyone you follow or see on Twitter goes, man, that guy's going to be awesome. Well, and they're saying he's kind of awesome now, but he'll be really, really awesome in another winter conditioning, in another spring session. I'm wondering, you know, what his numbers will look like next year, because we don't know who's going to be helping him out on offense. You know, you got Maurice Washington. You know, you got Jack Stoll. And then we're kind of up in the air with who else you're handing off to or throwing to. They may be here. They may not be here at wideout. And you lose Stanley and Ziggy that are big. The thing that we can talk about here to start off is just what – let's play this. And I don't like going hypothetical a lot, but it's kind of fun sometimes. Wonderful bar arguments, as long as they end up in who's buying shots versus who's throwing punches. But just let's play the moving game for a second. And if you put Adrian Martinez on Ohio State, are they still playing in the Big Ten championship game? Yeah. Do they lose to Purdue? I think if you have Adrian Martinez running Urban Meyer's offense, you could argue Ohio State's undefeated. Because the thing that has shifted Ohio State the last three games and helped them beat Michigan isn't Dwayne Haskins lighting the world on fire with his 40 time, but the fact that they've shifted to a run element with the quarterback. Before, Haskins was a toothless quarterback in the quarterback run game. They do the zone read game with no threat of him running it. And when he does run it, it's worse than Cardale running it. Haskins is not a runner. He's not even, like, evasive. He's elusive enough to not be a statue in the second in the pocket, but he isn't a running quarterback. And Adrian Martinez is your 2.0 quarterback for college and the future with the NFL, because he's a throw-first guy that makes quick decisions, that has great arm strength, that is very good with the enemy. He's extremely accurate. Hell, 65%? That's after 2 years of not playing football before the spring session for Nebraska. And the guy can move. How many plays did he make? How many first downs did he gain against probably the elite defense in the Big Ten with Iowa? I mean, you had Iowa probably miss as many missed tackles in a ball game as they've missed all year. And it was Adrian making a play with his, making that first dude miss. So let's play the transplant game where Adrian goes to Ohio State, or Adrian goes to Penn State, or Adrian is at Michigan. They're no worse. Hell, they're probably a little bit better. Let's play the transplant game where you take Haskins to Lincoln, or McSorley to Lincoln, or you take Blau to Lincoln, or go down the list. Adrian Martinez is the best quarterback with the best set of skills, period. He's a better runner than McSorley. He's clearly a better thrower than McSorley. Okay. Blau, I know he won head-to-head, and I know Blau was the guy who led the world in interceptions a couple of years ago, and Brohm has retransformed him. He also didn't pick him to start the season. That's a misstep. It got corrected, and Purdue's pretty good. Purdue's a good football team. Patterson, God, his run game element with Harbaugh when they ran the pistol, that helped Michigan's offense. And Patterson made a lot of plays. I'm not going to sneeze at him, but I'm not going to take him over Adrian Martinez. That's the question you just need to ask yourself. And that's a question, if you get a smoky bar room somewhere with the Big Ten coaches, they would absolutely trade what they got for Adrian Martinez. I know that's a big old statement out there right now, but the proof is there in Adrian Martinez's skill set, his ability, his accuracy, and most importantly, what he can do with his legs. And I know he got hurt, but it was a WWE move that jacked him. It wasn't an injury he suffered while trying to make a play. It was an injury he suffered while being stacked up. And I would grade, from a decision-making standpoint, I would grade Adrian 7.5 out of 10 on his decision-making. The only thing you can bitch about is some turnovers. But his turnovers as a freshman in college are better than what you get out of a lot of guys that have two or three more years of football than him. So there's my take. I can't look you in the eye and say, well, he doesn't deserve more than honorable mention. He is a top three tier quarterback, and I'd take him I think you as a college football fan would take him. You can move him anywhere, and he can work in any offense. You can't say that about the guys that beat him out. I think McSorley's a really talented guy, but you saw, and this is the supporting cast he had for most of his career. Not his fault. Let's not penalize him. But when it came down to brass tacks time, Penn State's a 9-3 football team with him, period. And Penn State and Ohio State and Purdue and Michigan had one thing Adrian Martinez didn't have. That's a defense. And their offenses weren't required to score every possession. For a lot of the season, it felt like that was the requirement for Nebraska.
Yeah, and I think Derek mentioned this when he was on the show. It comes down to a lot like the popularity contest, and a lot of that comes in with the record. And, of course, Penn State beats Nebraska by a landslide. But if you're looking at just raw talent, yeah, Adrian, obviously, his ceiling is a lot higher than McSorley. I mean, McSorley, you pretty much know what you've gotten with him thus far. As for coaches trading, I don't know if I would say that for every coach. I don't know if I believe that Harbaugh or Urban Meyer would instantly just drop their guy and trade for Martinez. Maybe if you're looking at the long-term future, sure, but I feel like both of those guys are pretty comfortable with the quarterbacks they have. Not saying that I wouldn't do it personally, but if those coaches were to do it, I'm not so sure about that. And as a Nebraska fan, yeah, you definitely feel a little raw dogged. I mean, you're pissed off because Martinez didn't get as much recognition. The dude's got unbelievable talent. But like Derek said, it's kind of that popularity contest feeling. And it seems like a bunch of Nebraska fans just feel like Nebraska has not gotten that respect since joining the Big Ten. And I mean, this past year, I don't know if they deserved it, really. I mean, they know that they have another year to get back to this. And when they're competing for that Big Ten West, like you said, Martinez is going to be coming at it with motivation. Like I said, the chip on his shoulders. So if anything, I think this will turn the whole program positive and just driving them. And you'll see a lot more first team, second teams, and just overall players on that list in the coming year.
Right. I mean, things will take care of itself. The thing is this group of guys more about the substance versus the style. All right, the hardware is pretty cool, the recognition's great, but they just want to go win games. And Nebraska's got a big time winner, and you've got a window of opportunity now to get better defensively, help reload the talent around Adrian, because he is a special quarterback that, listen, not only with his talent and ability to make plays, but he's paired, we've said this as a projection, that he's paired with the best quarterback coach and the best offensive head coach. I mean, Brohm's really good too, but you have Frost and Mario paired with Adrian. I mean, that's a trifecta. That is a flat-out trifecta that most places won't and don't have. Let's talk Big Ten for a minute here. This is the other news of the day, and you have this news cycle of what's going to happen with the playoff, but you also have the coaching carousel that's going on. And you have Jeff Brohm that said, I'm going to stay at Purdue. He spoke with the athletic director at Louisville. There's been reports out. Pat Forty said that with incentives in it and everything, I think the Purdue contract will now be, if Purdue does what they're supposed to do with Brohm, continues their trend, if he starts winning and winning big there, I mean, he could make up to as much as $6 million. I think that base number is going to be closer to $5 million. And that's think about that. That's $5 million to be at Purdue. That's what we're talking about with coaching salaries. And I think there's a lot of character with Brohm. He could have just jumped ship, went home. It's all good. Now, it's also closer to Psychoville with Finkel being the mayor, because some a-hole decided to threaten to burn Trinity High School down because he didn't go. So they're not having class today. Saw that on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. So Louisville's kind of a mess, and it's easier to win at Purdue and take control of the West, the Big Ten West, than it is, not that he's afraid to do it, but Louisville was right there. In the coast, I think they're the coastal. I don't know. Their division has Clemson and Florida State. And even with Lamar Jackson, best they finished was third, and they lost a couple shootouts. Period. All right, they're 9-3, kind of limped to 8-4 the 2 years with Lamar Jackson, and got a Heisman, and then it all went away. I mean, ACC is a good league. And the division they're in the ACC is much more difficult to navigate, i.e. facing Dabo and having to take Dabo down.
Yeah, a lot more
than the West.
Yeah,
the West.
A lot more opportunity in the Big Ten West, and he's already got his foundation integrated with Purdue, and they're only going to get better from this point on. The money's there, like you said. Louisville's a disaster. I think he made the right decision, without a doubt.
And I'll say this too: between Joe Tiller and the previous couple of staffs at Purdue, didn't win, but I would not sneeze at the recruiting base that Purdue has. I mean, you're in there. Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, you're not far from kind of Kentucky, obvious. I mean, you're that Ohio Valley region you can tap into. Brom's a name, and Brom will be fine. We'll get into some of the trends in the West and in the East, and you got to ask yourself, is there a shift going on in the Big Ten? Or is there just a challenge that's occurred? Is it more of a short-term or a long-term thing that's happening in the Big Ten? And that answer is still up in the air with Brom and Frost in the West. But it's good for the league. Parker Gabriel's next.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We'll see if Coach Barnett is going to be doing some smoked ribs tonight or if he's already in Indy. I'm thinking he's probably putting for some dough right now in Scottsdale. We say hi to Parker Gabriel, Lincoln Journal star. Parker, what's good, man? How are you?
Good, Schmitty. How you doing?
I am good. Thanks for taking a few minutes. I want to get into the All-Big Ten selections, some recruiting. But first, get your take, because I know you confirmed it on Guy Thomas leaving the program, asking for and receiving a scholarship release. How big a blow do you think this is?
Well, it's a blow in the sense that, you know, he's an athletic kid, and it really is a continuation of the way that 2017 class just hasn't really panned out in Lincoln. But at the same time, it wasn't unexpected. It's been in the works for a while. I think the staff's probably known for a while that this was going to happen, and so they're not without contingency plans. They're not without some young players at outside linebacker. But yeah, I mean, they don't have a ton of depth on defense to begin with, and so when you've got guys that are leaving or that don't pan out, it certainly doesn't help.
Parker Gabriel's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Follow him on Twitter at HuskerExtraPG on Twitter. With Nebraska, give me two guys that you're most intrigued by for 2019 on the defensive side of the ball, guys that can make monster jumps. We talked about this yesterday. I want to get your thoughts on it today.
Yeah, one of them for me is Deontay Williams at safety. They just have so much production to replace, so many snaps to replace at safety with Aaron Williams, Antonio Reed, and Trey Neal all leaving. Trey Neal said the last regular season week of the season that in his mind it's all American or bust for Deontay Williams. That's obviously high praise, mm-hmm. but he's a talented kid. He's super athletic. And so if he can put it all together and be an every down kind of player and be more familiar with everything that's going on in his second year in the system, he's a junior college guy, but he's got 2 years left, 19 and 20. And so I think he's a real linchpin type guy in terms of the strides he makes. And then I'm interested in Tyron Ferguson and also, you know, both inside spots. I just think that they need more production at linebacker total than they got this year. And they have to replace both Dedrick Young and maybe their most, you know, productive linebacker disruption-wise in Luke Gifford. And so two spots there, and Tyron Ferguson is a guy that really, you know, got to find a way to stay on the field and be healthy for a whole season and to make the kind of disruptive plays that he's capable of making.
When he's healthy, he has been so good at making some backside plays and setting the edge, and he has done it all. Parker Gabriel's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Parker, why was Adrian kind of relegated to honorable mention? I know coming into the year, the Big Ten on paper looked like they were pretty stacked at quarterback, and you have your usual suspects that finished out first, second, third team. But the outcry has been pretty loud here in Nebraska that Adrian didn't do better.
Yeah, it's funny because I totally get if you line up, you know, Adrian Martinez's stats for the season with Trace McSorley's at Penn State, Martinez lines up favorably. I actually thought that if you want to, you know, and obviously you can't just take passing or just rushing as a quarterback or whatever, but I thought the second most dangerous passer in the league after Dwayne Haskins was David Blau at Purdue. Mm-hmm. Threw for a lot more yards than McSorley did, was more efficient with the ball. I think he had 25 touchdowns against just 7 or 8 interceptions. So I thought that for as good as Trace McSorley's been, and he's had a great career at Penn State, I thought that Adrian Martinez, David Blau, and maybe even Shea Patterson at Michigan all had as good or better claims to the second team spot. And so I didn't expect Martinez to get the number two team spot, but I did think that maybe someone besides Trace McSorley would.
You could make that argument, absolutely. Blau has been incredible, and Purdue, I know, finished 6-6, but they had a window there to do much better than that, especially with the momentum after the Ohio State win. You see this a lot, not just with the Heisman or All-Americans, but you see it, the career achievement, and do you feel kind of that's what McSorley got? They finished 9-3 as well.
Yeah, probably a little bit, and I think the overall record had something to do with it. And then, you know, the thing with Adrian Martinez is, I mean, that there's just, for the stuff that he was up for, you know, there's really good competition. I don't think that any, wherever he finishes in any race should take away from what he did for the year. But, I mean, you know, freshman of the year, Rondale Moore, fantastic year. I think, you know, Nebraska fans aren't going to like it, but when the Freshman All-American Awards come out, he might be a second teamer, but I would think that the kid at Clemson, Trevor Lawrence, will probably be a first team freshman All-American. He's having a Martinez-like year in terms of efficiency and what he's doing, and he's doing it for an unbeaten team, and that it almost becomes an apples and oranges comparison. But I mean, that none of that takes away from the kind of season that Adrian Martinez had as an 18-year-old true freshman.
Absolutely not. Parker, what's your take on the Big Ten West with Brohm deciding to stay? Are we going to see a shift where the West as a whole, when you look at the trends that have gone on with most of the league teams, the arrows pointed up? Do you see the West maybe gaining some more momentum, garnering some more respect?
I think so. I think especially with Brohm back, I think that there's really, if you look at it, just, you know, it's obviously really early. We're just getting going on the offseason. But I think you can make the argument that every team in the West has a chance to be better next year than it was this year. And that includes Northwestern, who is 8-1, probably wasn't even Pat Fitzgerald's best team that he's had there. Minnesota closed the season strong. They're going to a bowl game. Purdue had that kind of funk there. But Brohm's back, Rondale's back. They've got a great recruiting class coming in. They're building. Same with Nebraska. Illinois is still young, although A.J. Bush played pretty well, so they have to figure that out. I mean, just go down the list. And Wisconsin, you know, for as disappointing a year as they had, I don't think that many would expect them to finish 7-5 in the regular season again next year. And so you just go down the list, and you can make an argument, I think, that everybody in the West will be better, and that's good for the Big Ten overall, and it's probably good for Nebraska. I mean, you want to have competition like that, and you want to see how fast, you want to see if Scott Frost and this group can overtake teams in the West in terms of, you know, sort of the pecking order and how fast they can do it.
Wisconsin and Iowa have been the two teams out of the West. They've had the stranglehold. It's come down to them. Northwestern broke through this year, won both of them. Also did one on the road, one at home. So it wasn't just due to schedule, right? So I got to ask you, with Wisconsin's kind of stranglehold on the West, is it more of a shift that's occurred, or is it a blip? Is it kind of a one-hit wonder? What do you anticipate? How do you think Wisconsin responds to this year?
Well, it's probably a little bit of both. I think the league was probably starting to catch up to Wisconsin. Wisconsin probably missed an opportunity to have another year where it was like clearly the big dog in the league. I think a lot of people thought going into this fall that they would be. But I think it is a blip a little bit, just in the sense of, you know, they put at least two, I think three defensive linemen from last year's team in the NFL. So that was a position where they're really, you know, they had to replace a lot coming into the year. And then they lost all three starters to injury off that defensive line. That's really tough, especially, you know, I mean, you can survive breaking in a young secondary. You can survive passing guys on to the NFL if you stay healthy, and they didn't. And then, of course, they've had all kinds of problems at quarterback and at receiver. And so they were not as infallible as I think some people maybe thought they were coming into the fall. But I also think that there was probably caught some bad breaks along the way too, probably. And so I don't think that they're going to be a surefire favorite next year, but I do think that they have every chance at least to bounce back from where they are right now.
Well, they got brutal quarterback play compared to some other teams, and that's the name of the game. Parker Gabriel's with us, Hale Varsity Radio, at Husker Extra. PG's where you follow him on Twitter. Parker, got about 3 minutes here. Kind of give me a summary of the recruiting week. What has stuck out to you about Nebraska? I know they've been everywhere from California to SEC land and some stops in between.
Yeah, it's a lot of focus in SEC land, and it'll be interesting. It's a lot of guys that we had sort of firmly on the radar screen. A lot of commits, you know, verbal commits already in the Atlanta area and stuff that they've visited. And then some new guys that have popped up, whether it's an athlete like Winston Wright in Savannah, Georgia, or Jimmy Fritschke, who's an athletic tackle in South Carolina. So you're starting to see Jamin Graham, who's a really big, long outside linebacker in Alabama. So there's some guys that have sort of that were on the radar screen that they'd offered, but that you sort of think like, well, if Scott Frost is going to visit them during the contact period, they must be serious about those guys. And so I think our perception of the board is shuffled around a little bit. I think what'll be really interesting is the kids in Arizona. They've got Javon Wright committed already, but Ty Robinson, the defensive end, and Noah Pollock-Gates, the defensive back down there, two huge guys on their board, four-star type guys that they're competing directly with Alabama for, both of those guys. And they visited them both yesterday. Ty Robinson's coach told me that they've got the last window for an in-home visit before the dead period hits, right before signing day in a couple weeks. So Scott Frost is going to be the last coach in Ty Robinson's house before he makes his decision. And they've got a chance, I think, with Noah Pollock-Gates right across town in Gilbert, Arizona, to have a similar setup with Noah Pollock-Gates. And so those two guys, you know, when it comes down to it and when it comes to December 19th and signing day, those are two guys to watch, because those would be really, really strong additions, both of them, to Nebraska's class if they can get them.
You get a coverage guy and a pass rusher. About 30 seconds, ballpark here. Where do you think they're on Bama's board compared to Nebraska's board?
It'll be interesting to see. Probably not quite as high, but Alabama is actively recruiting Ty Robinson. They had him there for the Iron Bowl. Pollock-Gates, I don't know if it's wait and see or maybe a little bit better than that, but they've Alabama definitely likes both those kids.
Upset in Indy, yes or no?
No.
No. That was quick. You're like, no, it's going to be Ohio State by 1,000.
No, I like Ohio State. I think that the offense is going to keep rolling against Northwestern.
Parker, I'll let you be, man. Great work this week. Thanks for giving me a few minutes, man.
Yep, thanks for any time.
Take care, bud. Parker Gabriel, Lincoln Journal star at Husker Extra PG. So we follow him on Twitter. We're going to have another recruiting hit. And Greg Smith going to be with us in about 25 minutes. Go a little more in depth with that. A letter from Steph Curry. Some thoughts from Tim Miles on Roby, per the Tim Miles show last night. And yes, the trend, the arrow, whatever you want to call it, for the Big Ten West finally is pointing up. And we'll get a little bit more in depth with if this is just a blip or if it's a sign of things to come, a shift in power.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HaleVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Tail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt and the Pride of Chicago is Danny Burke. We'll see if Neil Brown from Troy ends up at Louisville as their second choice, as Brahm is back at Purdue. Austin emails in, Chris at HaleVarsity.com. Does Adrian being a freshman play a factor when you put him up against other conference quarterbacks for all Big Ten? Yes, that is kind of your reason. And that was a good chat with Parker on the first, second, and third team selection. But Parker made a good point about where Adrian will land when it comes to freshman All-American. You got the kid at Clemson that, I mean, he's got all of Clemson's toys. And the Clemson defense, they're playing great ball. So that is very real. But Adrian will get, no doubt, so much national love. Already has. But he'll get that acknowledgement, you would assume, as a freshman All-American second team. And maybe someone will be bold enough to say first team based on where he's at. We'll have the podcast up of the entire show, but you want to get the in-demand locked in on ESPN Lincoln with Parker Gabriel, Greg Smith, and Coach Gary Barnett coming up. 466-377-6800-825-5865. But out of proactive. Going to hit that after the show tonight, get some swimming in, but so much for you to do when you think about Madonna Proactive, the biggest sale going on right now. You pay nothing till 2019 when you get a membership. And you want to talk about incredible facility, plenty of options for you when it comes to cardio or strength training or just classes to take to be in better shape, feel better. 130 classes offered. We're talking TRX. We're talking yoga. Kickboxing, you want to get your Kramer on. It's not quite the dojo, but or dojo. Screwed that up. It's been a long time since I've bumped into anybody with a black, green, or yellow belt. But the point is they've got kickboxing going on at Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake Road in Lincoln, 402-420-0000. MadonnaProactive.org is where you log on. Basketball courts, three pools. The aqua track is incredible. And a walking track upstairs, free weights, strength training, circuit training. It's incredible. Make an appointment or just give them a shout and say, hey, I want to pop by and see the facility at Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake Road. Pay nothing till 2019. Danny, before we get into what Tim Miles had to say about Roby, and before we get into a little bit more in-depth stuff here on championship weekend coming up. Yay or nay here on the West? Do you think the West is a true contender to kind of get off the schneid as one of the worst divisions in football? That's been its reputation for a long time. And the talk with Brahm and the talk with Frost was, okay, you got those guys there. What can Purdue become? Will Nebraska get back to being Nebraska? Here's how I see it. And I see the West as, for the first time ever, you had Northwestern win. Now, Northwestern's probably a 10-win football team. If you had it to do over again, they probably played better against Duke. They were right there against Notre Dame. They had Michigan down. They did not step on their throat. It was 17-0. They won in East Lansing. They somehow came back from 14 down, double digits down to Nebraska. I know that sucks and hurts to say, Nebraska fans, but that was there. All right? They found a way to win in Iowa City. They have pulled 8-1. I mean, nobody goes 8-1 in the Big Ten. They just don't. And they did it. So is Northwestern here to stay? I don't know. I think they're here to be a top three team. They have shown me enough that they are smart and good on the lines of scrimmage, and they find a way. Is Iowa going to drift back down to 2014 Iowa that's 4-8 and people are screaming? No, I think they'll be better next year. They've got a lot back. They absolutely, you know what, the bed this year with how things were set up with their schedule, with everybody coming to Kinnick, and they still... best they can do is 9-4. That's a 10-win football team. They got a quarterback. They have those two defensive ends. They have those two tight ends. They messed themselves severely this year. Iowa did. They know it. Wisconsin. We're talking a little bit about Wisconsin. Are they in danger of being a third-place team? Do they get passed routinely by Iowa, by Nebraska, by Purdue, by Northwestern? I don't know. I think it's going to be an influx of, you'll have some teams jump to the top. And that's not because nobody's worth a damn. It's just because you're going to have that much depth. I think some years you'll have different cream rise to the top. I would expect Nebraska moving forward to be one or two every year. I think they'll be that good. I think they'll develop that well. I think they'll recruit that well. And right now they have the best quarterback in the division, period. And maybe the league, okay? So I think Nebraska's fine. I think Purdue, I think there's a ceiling at Purdue that could be 7-8 wins. It's not that they can't beat Ohio State. It's not that they can't beat Nebraska. It's not that they can't beat Iowa. They did that. I don't know that Purdue can start doing that on the road. I know they won in Lincoln, but I'm saying, are they going to take that step to be able to win consistently in Happy Valley? Are they going to win consistently on the road in the Horseshoe? And they have to do those crossover games against the East. So I think the West, though, is trending. How about Fleck? P.J. Fleck gets drilled, gets destroyed by winless Nebraska, annihilated by Illinois. And he still, but he beats Purdue, kills Purdue, 40-10. And then they go whack Wisconsin on the road. Incredible. So I don't know if there's just a lack of focus or if the West is just, there's no days off, no weeks off like there used to be. I think the West is trending upward with most of their teams. Illinois's got some dudes. I know they're 4-8, but they're not as big a freak show as they used to be. And then the East, let's talk. I mean, Michigan's okay, they're fine. But what a drama-filled year for Ohio State. Michigan State was a nightmare. Penn State looks like they're going the wrong direction. I mean, the West seems like the long shot bet here based on what they did this year and what they could do in the next couple of years compared to where the East is teetering a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the Big Ten West was in shambles this year, let's be honest. But if I'm going to have to pick one that I think will be more consistent, I'd lean toward the West. I honestly...
Do you look at it as a bad division or not?
This year, I would say yes, this year. But next year,
the consistency?
Right, just because it's like, who would have thought Northwestern... I mean, I thought Northwestern would be solid, but winning the Big Ten West, no, not a shot. But seeing them win it and like how they struggled, it's easy to say the Big Ten West is just all over the place. But next year, I think...
I don't know that's a bad thing, though, brother.
No, I mean, it's not. It makes everything more fun. But if you're looking at it, say, comparing it to the SEC, where that's a whole different conversation, then it's not the greatest thing. But I just want to say really quick, I do think Wisconsin is... I'm going to count them out for next year. I would put Purdue and Northwestern over Wisconsin, by the way, all those teams.
They're going to lose a lot. They'll be better defensively.
They're going to have to start over.
They're still a nightmare at quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the biggest difference. They're probably...
And Northwestern's only getting better at quarterback.
Yeah, they're probably the second worst quarterback team in the West.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Coming up, Gary Barnett, longtime coach Northwestern in Colorado, get his take on the college football playoff and Nebraska's season and his Northwestern Wildcats against Ohio State. A reminder, something's got to stop that motion and airbags aren't enough. You want the seatbelt or the windshield to stop your forward motion. And seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and your body needs to slow down in a hurry. That applies whether you're in the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Tim Miles chimed in on Roby. Topic of whether or not he would head to the NBA after this season came up. And Miles's response is, yeah, I expect Roby to be back next year. Here's a couple of things working with the Roby situation. And right now, you've had a guy that, let's just go back to how his career started here, busted up his pelvis, was injured, and that put him behind. Now, to his credit, he has thrived since he's been here, getting bigger, stronger, faster. And you know how just electric he is and how versatile he is. I mean, he is a guy that is going to be problems for so many guys trying to guard him, big dudes trying to guard him. And he is athletic enough to hang. You don't want him playing a five, obviously, but he's big enough to be a difference maker and a shot blocker and a rebounder, and not only get the rebound, but start the break. Or if someone else gets the rebound, fill the lane and work in transition. You saw him bust a three in transition against Clemson. He can shoot. He can drive. He can shot fake. He can rebound. He can pass. I mean, he had a hell of a play during one of Nebraska's spurts against Clemson where he's got it kind of free throw line dribbling, and he found Palmer back door.
He's kind of got like the Draymond Green type of assets.
Except he doesn't have the a-hole part, which is good.
Exactly.
But the thing about Roby is he's a guy that right now is just, I think he gets in his own head too much. And that's just the flat-out honest part of it. Tim Miles will speak tomorrow. I'm anxious to hear what he has to say before Illinois. But Roby's just a guy that just go play. I mean, you're not asked to be Maverick or Goose, all right? You can be a third or fourth option. It's okay. You still have Glenn. It isn't your team yet. You just need to contribute more than you have been offensively. And the reason you haven't been is because of foul trouble. So, again, the aggressiveness, the channeling, and the patience part of it. Take your shot. Make your shot when you're open. It's okay. There's not a mandatory on you having to make sure Cope or Palmer touch the ball. If you're open and you have a good matchup, they will go to you and let you do your thing. I mean, it's not – Pettaway ain't here anymore, man. Give me the ball. I mean, and I love Pettaway, but – Your role is to just kind of wow folks, and whatever condiment you love, if you like mustard on your hot dog, you like a little relish, you want a little peanut butter on that hamburger with bacon, the old Jiffy burger, just be that wow part of it that finishes off, and just play it that way. All right, we'll get you qualified for the Holiday Hail Mary next hour. Also, your chance to win $2,500 when you download the ESPN Lincoln app. Do it now on iTunes or Google Play.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you back. Hour 2, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, is Danny Burke, a man that someday I'll have a street named after him in Chicago. Maybe we're putting on a little thick. I don't know. Greg Smith, recruiting analyst extraordinaire at Greg Smith HV. Greg, you'd take a street, wouldn't you?
I would absolutely take a street. That'd be a great moment right there. Then they'd have to send me a replica of it so I could put it like in my office. Like put the little street sign on the wall.
Greg Smith Drive.
That's right. I like it.
That's where you can take 4 and 5 stars. Just take them along, right? Hey, it's been busy. You've been all over it. If you don't have the premium content at Hail Varsity, what's wrong? Get it? Log on, hailvarsity.com/subscribe. Greg Smith is just crushing it. Greg, kind of take us through some news and notes today between Logan Smothers, some of the offensive tackle targets that are out there, Coach Rude on the road today in-state, and let's start in Arizona with Ty Robinson and Noah Pola-Gates. Kind of get us up to speed.
Yeah, Ty Robinson, the four-star defensive end out of Arizona, who was here for the Michigan State game, got in-home visits yesterday from Eric Chenander and Mike Dawson. Still kind of waiting just to get a full update from him. Just got basically that it went really well. But his situation is really interesting and kind of fortunate for USC, not necessarily for the Huskers, as when USC did that house cleaning on, was it Tuesday, with their defensive line coach, among others, that got let go, that defensive line coach was scheduled to do an in-home visit with Ty that day. Well, he got the axe, and so in what can only be really read as a panic move, USC then sent Clay Helton, their head coach, and I think Pendergrass, their defensive coordinator, to go in-home instead. But then luck would have it, or good timing would have it, that Nebraska had that visit last night scheduled as well, so they were the next ones in after that, still with the Scott Frost home visit in their back pocket. And it does sound like Nebraska's going to actually get the last in-home shot with Ty, and they'll have Scott Frost be the last one to be able to get in front of him. So that's great news for Nebraska. Things trending well there. Then Noapola Gates, the four-star safety out of Arizona, who I think is just about 10 minutes away from where Ty lives in Arizona, got a visit from Eric Shenander and Travis Fisher last night. Initial thoughts there were that things went well again. But we'll kind of see as it's fresh off of a trip to Alabama. I know he really, really likes Alabama and is high on them. But I feel like we talk about this every year with Alabama. Alabama has so many kids that want to go there that they may not actually have a spot for him. If they continue to rack up, you know, 4- and 5-star kids, I think they have the number one rated class right now. So we'll kind of see how that shakes out. But Nebraska looks to be in pretty good position there, but I would not call them a favorite with Polo Gates by any stretch of the imagination.
Let's talk about kids that Nebraska's in on that they're trying to flip right now. Give me some names and some regions Coach Frost and his assistants are in trying to do work.
Yeah, so really the South. The South has been the real big thing this week, if I had to say anything, has been kind of the common factor, especially with where Coach Frost has been. Coach Frost has been within Georgia for at least two of the days this week. Also in Alabama as well. He's down there basically trying to flip guys in SEC country. So Jeremy James is an offensive lineman that's committed to Ole Miss that Nebraska is trying to flip. He was here for an official visit, probably the Purdue game. Nebraska went in home with him, trying to give him something to think about. Brandon Turnage, cornerback that's committed to Bama out of Mississippi, that Nebraska's trying to work with him a little bit. And then obviously Wandale Robinson down in Kentucky, Ryan Held, saw him this week. And Robinson told me that everything went really well with him and Ryan Held in that initial meeting, and that he's still expecting Scott Frost to come in home with him at some point before the early signing date.
Is Wandale a guy that can still be flipped? I know that he went on Kentucky. Matt Jones, I think, went on Matt Jones's show earlier this week. Might have been last night, I think, and said, look, Nebraska's not in the picture. If Brom would have gone to Louisville, we could have talked, but right now I'm still with Kentucky. So how committed to Kentucky is this kid?
So here's the thing with that, and I saw that because, of course, I had, for some reason, Kentucky fans managed to find me on Twitter yesterday. they were sending me this yesterday. It's like all I had to say. I was very nice to these folks, so I let them have their moment. But, yes, I saw that video of him saying that. Here's my takeaway from that. I will believe that Nebraska is completely out of the picture when two things happen. One, when Wandale himself stops telling me that things are going well between him and Nebraska. Two, when he actually cancels this meeting with Coach Frost. Coach Frost doesn't go in home, and it's just Kentucky, and, you know, he's talking about, and he actually says the words, I'm 100% committed to Kentucky, I'm completely shut down. Then I'll believe it. Otherwise, it's really just a bunch of talk at this point, and we'll just kind of see how it all shakes out. To your question, though, I don't know, like, how great the chance is that they're going to flip him. I just know that Nebraska's still in the game, and all of the things that were present that made him silently commit to Nebraska before he decided to change his mind at the 11th hour, all of those things are still in place. This is still the perfect offense for him. Adrian Martinez is still here. The fan support is still the fan support. We actually show up to games in Nebraska, so I don't know what else to make of the situation until he stops having Nebraska coaches come in.
Well, I mean, you've got the infamous YouTube of a Kentucky kid pissed off at his fans for the senior day.
Right.
Referencing Nebraska and the support for an 0-for football team. Jamin Graham, he's a kid out of Alabama that's on the radar. And give us a Lloyd Summerall update.
Yeah, so Jamin Graham is a defensive end slash outside linebacker out of Alabama who's got a pretty good offer list, a bunch of offers down in the South. Scott Frost actually went to see him yesterday, kind of under the radar visit to Alabama as he was kind of traversing around the South. I'm told that Jamin Wright will be in Lincoln for an official visit this week. And then Lloyd Summerall, sounds like it's down between Nebraska, Florida, and Miami. Florida, I think, is getting an official visit this weekend, and then Miami the weekend after that. I don't think Nebraska's completely out of that one. I would still be more surprised than not if he leaves the state of Florida. Like, that's going to be a really tough pull to get him out of the state of Florida. But I feel like this is also a Caleb Tanner situation from last year, where everyone thought that Caleb Tanner was going to stay in the South, and it turns out the whole time Nebraska had been building a really great relationship with him, and he surprised a lot of people by taking Nebraska out signing day. We'll see what happens with Summerall, as I think he's scheduled to announce on December 19th on the first day of the early signing period.
Give me Nebraska's top five as you see it. Top five undecideds on the board right now, and give me a temperature.
So the top five. So Ty Robinson would be number one on that list and on every list right now. I think Nebraska has a very good chance with him. I think that it's trending in the direction of Nebraska being the choice in that one. That USC defensive line coach getting fired, I think, was a really big deal. Alabama is in the mix. Oregon in the mix a little bit, but I don't think that Alabama is pushing as hard here. I think Nebraska makes a lot of sense. We just talked about Lloyd Summerall. I think that he's right there in the mix in that top five. Going to be tough to pull him out of Florida, but, you know, we've been surprised before. I think Noah Pulla-Gates, if we start off with three defenders here, people should be happy there. He is the safety out of Arizona. Is a guy that I think Nebraska has a really good shot with here, that it didn't feel like that for a long time. As we talked about earlier, Alabama heavily in the mix there. He's taken visits to Penn State, to Arizona State. I think USC is in the mix. So I think that Nebraska has a pretty good shot with Pulla-Gates, depending on what happens with Alabama. And then there's a whole host of guys that we have to talk about after that. So whether or not you stay on the defensive side of the football with a guy like Jamel Starks, defensive back out of Georgia, Josh Sanguinetti, a defensive back out of Florida, who Nebraska has good chances with both of them. And then there's JUCO players too. Drew Mathis, I think, is someone we have to mention, the linebacker that could play either inside or outside, who's also visited Illinois, TCU, Baylor. I think Nebraska's in a great position with him.
Right. Mathis is intriguing because of his versatility. Greg Smith's with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine recruiting analyst. As the early signing period looms, Nebraska assistants and Coach Frost on the road. Greg's all over it. Greg, where are we at with numbers, total class, and are there guys that you're worried about flipping away from Nebraska?
So currently we're at, 21 commitments. I guess there are probably a few only that I'm kind of worried about or just have my antennas raised about. I think Desmond Bland is the one that people have kind of most talked about here recently, and he's probably the one that you're most concerned with, just because he's got an official visit scheduled to Florida State, I believe, for not this coming weekend, but the weekend after, December 7th weekend. So we'll kind of see what happens there, but he has not used his official visit to Nebraska yet, so Nebraska does still have that in their back pocket as well, which is always a good sign. But the interesting thing there is that, to my knowledge, Nebraska has not visited him since the contact period opened. That, to me, signals a little bit of trouble there, and not necessarily because Desmond Bland is looking around, but there could be maybe a grade issue. Maybe he won't be able to make it out in time. Still kind of doing some digging around that, but that's definitely something to keep an eye on. But other than that, no one in serious danger after that. You still want to make sure whenever you have JUCO players, whether it's Tony Fair or Dedrick Mills, that they actually are going to be able to graduate and make it out on time. But I don't think there's a huge concern there. And then Nebraska wants all of their guys that are signed right now to sign in December, so that's signed, sealed, delivered, and put away. So there's always a guy or two that wants to put that off. So you'll see if Nebraska can actually get everybody to sign in December.
Greg Smith's with us. Varsity Radio at Greg Smith HV. Bland, of course, from Arizona Western. And Bland was, I mean, where's Nebraska at in the offensive tackle market if Bland decides or can't make it to Lincoln?
Yeah, I think, well, last night I had on HailVarsity.com about Jimmy Fritzky, an offensive tackle from South Carolina that's kind of been on the radar for a while for Nebraska, but not really known to Husker fans. Scott Frost and Greg Austin went to see him yesterday, and he has an official visit set up for that last weekend, the December 15th weekend, before the early signing period starts. So I think that they have guys that they'll have ready and willing to be in if Bland decided to move on or if they need to move on from Bland. But I also think that they need to look to get interior guys as well, and that's where Jeremy James and trying to flip him from his old Miss commitment really comes into play because Bland is really scheduled to play on the interior for Nebraska. He plays tackle, I believe, for Arizona Western, but he'll play on the interior in college.
Greg, I look at the in-state kids that have really been steadfast, and I'm thinking of Garrett Nelson out in Scott's Bluff for sure. But overall, give me an update on the in-state kids and how they're sitting with Nebraska in this early signing period.
Yeah, so Nick Henrich and Chris Hickman should both be getting in-homes from Barrett-Rood this evening.
Like right now.
Yeah, I was about to say, I believe right now. I just looked up at the time. I believe he should be in Chris Hickman's home right now and then heading to Nick Henrich's house at 6 tonight. So that's where they are with them. And then Garrett Snodgrass should be on an official visit this weekend, as well as Ethan Piper. I think Garrett Nelson maybe either this weekend or next weekend as well. Like those guys are pretty solid, are very solid in their commitments. I shouldn't say pretty. I don't want to scare people. They're very solid in their commitments. But then Barrett-Rood also went around the Omaha Metro today and saw some kids as well. So I know he saw Teddy Prochaska, the 2021 offensive tackle. He saw Xavier Betts. He was at Bellevue West to get an update on the 2020 four-star wide receiver as well. So Barrett-Rood right now is a leader in the clubhouse for the best travel schedule out of all of the coaches, though he did go see Jackson Hanna out in Tennessee as well.
Greg, about 90 seconds here, bud. Kind of predict and project this weekend. Any news, any commitment news, or is it just going to be more of a waiting game? What's on the menu, so to speak, for Nebraska this weekend? Anyone coming to town?
Yeah, so you'll definitely have some guys coming to town. As I mentioned, Ethan Piper from Norfolk Catholic will be in town. You'll have a couple of the commits. But also, we talked about Jamin will also be in town, the pass rusher from Alabama, Jamin Graham. And then you'll also have Tony Wallace, cornerback, defensive back from Independence Community College out in Kansas, out in Missouri, mm-hmm. who will be in town too, who I actually think could be on commit watch. Nebraska's recruited him before. Dante Williams tried to get him when he was still here. He ended up in Arizona, bounced out after their coaching change. Could be an interesting slot corner for Nebraska going forward.
Greg, you're awesome, man. We'll keep it locked into you on Twitter at GregSmithHV. And, of course, with HailVarsity.com, all the recruiting updates you want and need for this early signing period, Greg Smith will have it. Premium content is an option for you. Can subscribe, HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Bundle it. Get the magazine. Get the premium content. It's a great idea. Greg, have a great weekend. Awesome stuff, man. Thanks for giving us a few minutes.
Hey, thanks as always, man. Appreciate it.
Take care. Greg Smith with us on HailVarsity.com and magazine recruiting analyst. Good to hear from him. Okay, a sale like this has not ever happened in the 114-year history of Sauter Heyman, but it's continuing to go on. Once-in-a-lifetime deals with Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. I'm talking about Sauter Heyman, the best and most prestigious jeweler in the area. You can now save 60% on top quality jewelry. Never before savings, anything, everything in the store. Tell you what, Sauter Heyman's total inventory liquidation is going on. Don't wait. Best selection is today, so get there. SauterHeyman.com. It's for the South Point location in Lincoln, Grand Island location only. When you get there, pop in, get signed up to win a free $5,000 1-carat diamond pendant. That liquidation sale with Sauter Heyman. Make it happen. Gary Barnett's coming up.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Good stuff from Greg Smith, recruiting analyst, Hail Varsity Nebraska, out in full force. Arizona, SEC country, places that are warmer than here. Let's head back there and say hi to a proud coach, Northwestern in Colorado, Gary Barnett, back with us. Coach, how is the turkey?
A disaster, Chris. An absolute disaster. I worked really hard, and I smoked it for 12 hours, and it wasn't done.
Really?
So that was a lot of work for a bad turkey, I can tell you that.
So it's kind of like the Griswold family Christmas turkey, or was it worse than that?
No, it wasn't that bad. It was the breast was done, but the rest of it wasn't, so... You know, turkey soup and all that good stuff we didn't get to have. We could microwave it, I guess. But it was a lot of work, and it was a big disappointment. And fortunately, it was only my wife and I to be there to be disappointed. So it was okay.
Well, I'm sorry to bring that one up, man. My fault. moving on. You got to be. I was telling Danny that. Coach Barnett's probably in his. He's got his purple on today to talk to us because you're heading to Indy, man. What's this opportunity mean for Northwestern on Saturday night?
Well, it's huge in that when we won the Big Ten both times, we didn't have a playoff for it. It was. Because Michigan beat Ohio State, and we beat Michigan, and we hadn't played Ohio State. They weren't on the schedule. So this is the first head-to-head game for Northwestern to be involved in that determines a championship. And so in a lot of ways, it's more significant even than the two that we were able to win. And then they tied for one, I think, in 2001 with two other teams. But this is the first one that they've had a real game determines the championship, and so it's huge, and it's huge for the Northwestern family as well. I mean, there's, as you know, some donor has sending 54 bus loads of kids down there with free tickets, and so they're going and. And it's it's going to be a big get together. I know Christine Brennan and Michael Wilbon and Mike Greenberg and me and a couple other guys, Schnurr, were doing a big rally before the game on Saturday night. So it's a big deal at Northwestern, and it should be because this is a head-to-head, championship game.
What needs to happen Saturday night to head to Pasadena?
Well, what needs to happen is that hopefully, for Northwestern's sake, that Ohio State's had they were so hyped up for that game last week that they spent a lot of their stuff there. And Northwestern needs to get in the fourth quarter and have it be a close game because they're, as you know, they're a team that knows how to win. And they don't do it in dramatic fashion. And they don't do it sometimes in impressive fashion, but they have a team that goes all the way back to last year when they won three overtime games and were able to pull out a very similar sort of arrangement this year with a number of games. So they're a team that plays good defense. Special teams are pretty good. They found a running back now that seems to be able to make some hay. So they've got to get to the fourth quarter. They got to play really good defense and survive the flurry of talent from Ohio State.
Gary Barnett's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, wanted to get your take on this. There's been some uproar. That Adrian Martinez did not land anything more than honorable mention when it came to all Big Ten, either by the media or by the coaches. When you look at Adrian and you look at the Big Ten and the quarterback landscape, could you make an argument for Adrian Martinez being second or third team?
Well, I probably could probably certainly do it for a second, for a third team position. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see who got third team, but I would imagine McSorley, the kid from Ohio State.
You had McSorley unanimous second team, and then Blau and Patterson split between media and coaches, and it was Haskins, your first team, your offensive player of the year.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, they look at stuff and say he's a freshman, he's on a team that's not going to a ball game. You know, he's got plenty of time. So I think that's what you're seeing there. But he did plenty of damage to everybody to know who he is and get their respect. So, you know, in some ways it makes him work a little bit harder, a little more incentive for next year. So, but I could make an argument for him for third team, that's for sure.
What do you think of Brohm staying at Purdue and saying, yeah, thanks but no thanks, Louisville?
Well, you know, it's pretty interesting, I thought, Chris. First of all, I sort of admire him for doing it. I think the other thing is he sort of sees Louisville in a mess right now. Mm-hmm. And he's really done a good job with the foundation now at Purdue. And he's got kids that have come there because of him. And he knows that and he feels it. So I admire what he's doing by not going to Louisville and staying at Purdue. And, you know, it's a big statement for Purdue, I think.
Well, I think Purdue's underrated. I mean, I think they've won there with Tiller, and then they kind of went through some coaches, and Brohm's awesome. I mean, they're really good. I mean, they beat Iowa this year. They won in Lincoln. They beat Ohio State. I mean, they've climbed up, and they're still 6-6, so there's more for them to go get. But I think their recruiting base up there, I mean, I think it's underrated, Coach. I mean, I think they've got a lot of talent in that area.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't think I'd agree with you. They got three Division I teams all vying for in one state that's not a heavily populated
surrounding area. Maybe I should.
Surrounding area. You got Chicago and everything, but you still are going to have to go south.
Okay.
I think to get skilled players, so I think that's a tough job. I think he's done an amazing job with that recurring base. Frankly,
okay.
And, you know, Texas, they did a good job with Texas when they got a pretty good little quarterback out of there by the name of Breeze. So.
Westlake's finest man went up to Choo Choo Land. Gary Barnett, a couple more minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, do you think the West is changing, is shifting? The balance of power is shifting, or is it still up? And I know Northwestern just won, but I'm saying, is that going to be a constant here, that there's going to be a new team that claims the West year after year, or is it always going to be in flux? How do you see this moving forward?
No, I think it's going to be a new team that claims it. You know, I mean, it's a lot more balanced, obviously, in the West than in the East. And so I think it's what it does against teams like Minnesota has got to be pumped up by this. You know, anybody in the West, really, I mean, if Northwestern can go and you know, two games into the left of the season, be in the championship game, then virtually anybody can. So I think it's going to be really a lot of balance and much more so than the East.
Gary Barnett's with us. Coach, we'll get to the rapid-fire picks here in a minute. Quick reaction on Mack Brown going to Chapel Hill.
Old guys rule. You know, I could tell Mack all along, you know, Mack, Sally, his wife, was just, you know, she couldn't wait till he retired and wanted him to get out. And then when he did get out and was doing Tuesday night games, Friday night games, he was in the studio in Bristol on Saturdays, Fridays and Saturdays and early Sunday mornings, I start saying, you know what, he can't get this out of his system. You know, here he wanted to be retired and be able to do what he wants, and all he does is do college football games. So I wasn't surprised at all. It had to be just the right spot. North Carolina, because he's been there, was just the right spot. And I don't mean the right spot for him to go back in, but the right spot to choose him.
Right.
And I think it was the right spot.
Well, he won a really high level there. I mean, and then got the Texas gig. Coach, we'll start out with the Pac-12 championship game. Washington and Utah, -5.5 Huskies.
Yeah, I think this is a really good game, but I think the Huskies are more of a solid team. although the special teams on Utah are so good. That place kicker and that punter could be the difference in the game. So I think Washington, but you know, I wouldn't be shocked if a special teams domination by Utah ends up winning it. But I'm going to go with the Huskies.
Texas, Oklahoma.
It's hard to beat anybody twice, so I'm going to go with Oklahoma.
Memphis and UCF.
Same thing. UCF lost their quarterback. You know, you really should ask Scott Frost this question, not me. But I think Memphis. Memphis. I'm going with Memphis this time.
He might be in your neighborhood recruiting, so
he probably is. I saw him on the golf course yesterday. No, I didn't.
Yeah, Coach Barnett's joking. You were on the golf course. Bama, Georgia.
Bama. I hope it's a close game, and I really do believe that it is a really close game. Georgia still has a chance to get in.
That's where I was going. Give me your four best. Is Georgia better than Ohio State? Does Notre Dame make your cut? I mean, who are the four best in your mind right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, the two are obviously Clemson and Alabama. You got to say you can't avoid Notre Dame being in there. That's the way. Are they the best? I don't know, but they're going to be in there. And then the fourth one, I think right now the team that has the best chances is Ohio State because they are so loaded with talent. And they probably underachieved this year. They're a bit of a dumpster fire, like we said last week. But Oklahoma, they can't stop anybody. Mm-hmm. So whoever it is going to be fodder for Alabama more than likely. But this Ohio State team reminds me of when Cardale Jones was a third-string quarterback and takes him into the championship game. Sort of reminds me of that a little bit. Georgia, I still think if Georgia plays, I mean, if that's a three-point game or a two-point game, I think the possibility exists at Georgia, and depending on what the other two teams do. But I think the possibility exists for Georgia to get back in it.
Any upset between Clemson or Pitt?
Some upset people at Pitt. But not an upset in the score.
Last thought. Okay, 15 seconds, Northwestern, Ohio State, Buckeyes minus 14.5.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good number. I think Buckeyes probably win this. But if Northwestern gets it to the fourth quarter, that game could switch.
Coach, we'll give you a shot next week for the playoff selection. Take care and enjoy Indy.
We'll do it, Chris. Thank you.
Take care. All right. Appreciate you, Coach. Gary Barnett, Northwestern proud, going to be up there with all his Wildcats getting ready for Ohio State.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Good stuff from Gary Barnett, and he's going to be cheering for his Northwestern Wildcats. We say hi to Deb the Spa Lady. She cheers for her Kansas City Chiefs, her Huskers, her Jayhawks, and she has a spa for you that maybe that big guy in the red coat can bring with his reindeer. Deb, you've got some holiday specials, don't you?
Yes, we do, and I think I've got the best deal of all here and the best idea.
Okay.
You know, this time of year, everybody just goes crazy. You're running, you're trying to find that perfect gift. You're just exhausted. Why not come in, purchase a spa for the entire family, cross everybody off your list, have it delivered right away, because we do have everything in stock right now. Get it delivered, and then just sit back and enjoy the holidays. For once, just sit back and relax. Don't go crazy.
Deb, I have it on good authority. We jumped in a Home Innovation Spa after the Nebraska-Iowa game, and it pepped us up, to be honest with you.
Well, good.
That and the wild turkey, but, I mean, it was great.
Together,
yes, yeah.
Combination.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It wasn't a hot tub full of wild turkey, but that's an idea.
That's right.
But what I'm saying is this weather with the chill in the air, doesn't that sound good? Doesn't it sound refreshing getting the spa with maybe it being a little bit chilly outside? It's an experience, isn't it?
It really is. It's something that a lot of people will get their spa in anticipation for that first snow or a snowfall so they can get out there and enjoy watching it snow while they're in their hot tub.
20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln's where you find Deb the Spa Lady off Industrial Road in Omaha. Spasonline.com is where you can log on. But the best bet is to go see Santa Deb. How's that sound?
Mm-hmm.
Santa Deb.
That sounds good.
Will take care of you. And they've been doing it better than anybody for 25 years, Home Innovation Spas. Deb, that's a great idea. And whether you've been naughty or nice, you'll still make the list. And it sounds like the perfect family option for this holiday season.
Yes, and just let our elves do the hard work. You come in, pick it out, we'll take it from there.
If folks want to come see you and some of your elves, Deb, Santa Deb, what are the hours they can come check in and say, help me find one that'll work in our basement, in our backyard, wherever we want to be?
Okay, we're open 10 to 6 Monday through Friday and Saturday 10 to 4. So come see us. We'll make this all happen in plenty of time before Christmas.
Deb, you're awesome. We'll get caught up with you next week. Thanks for the time.
Okay. All righty. Bye-bye.
There she is. Deb, the Spa Lady. Home Innovation Spa's 20th and Highway 2. That's no joke. The Home Innovation Spa, we jumped in on Friday after the... This is how it worked. No kidding. So, Iowa hits the shot at the buzzer. Everyone's pissed. But then it's hot tub time. And no matter how much you're angry as a Nebraska fan of losing by a field goal to Iowa, seeing me with my shirt off changes that thought process. There are worse things. And that's how we go.
If people didn't already have a reason to drink, you just gave an opportunity to double down.
Wouldn't that be kind of fun? Like to have
you go in a hot tub with you?
Well, dude, the amusement park's open. Right? I'm talking about having a beverage in a hot tub when it's chilly out.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
Or even a hot tub full of wild turkey. You'd show up with a straw.
I don't know about that, but hey, I'm all for it.
It'd be all good. You see this letter from Steph Curry?
Yeah, I skimmed over it. I got the gist of it.
So here's the backstory on it. And we are going to get Danny Burke, the pride of Chicago's Thursday night college football picks here in a minute. Hold on. There's no college football. NFL is what I meant. And you'll hear that here coming up here on many of the Hale Varsity affiliates. There's a little girl that penned a letter to Steph Curry. Now, you can like snarl and roll your eyes and be cynical about the fact that it's on social media and everyone's patting Steph Curry on the back and yada, yada, yada. I get it. But it's sweet. You got this little girl that's like, okay, bro, why are there no girls' shoes available? And Steph took the time to write this little girl back and say it was an oversight by us. The kid sizes are the kid sizes. And for your trouble, I'm sending you a new pair. Plus, I'm sending you a pair of the Steph Curry Sixes. And when we unveil them during Women's Week, you're going to be my guest. He's going above and beyond of making some little girl's day. It's cool how he wrote back. Very personable, very connected to this little girl. And that's stuff you need to hear about. And you do because of social media. The question I have out there is, and Babbers was chiming in on this on Twitter, Mike Babcock with SIP, and I've never been like the hater crowd for Steph Curry. I marvel at his ability. I think he's pretty tough. I think he's kind of gotten a big head a little bit, which can happen. But I think overall he's pretty genuine with trying to be a good guy. That matters to me. I mean, I didn't have the foresight to tell my kid that Kevin Durant is going to be spineless. I just wowed at his talent. Watched him here when Nebraska played Texas the year he was here. But from a Steph Curry standpoint, for good and for bad, he's changed basketball because everyone wants to shoot a three now and it's all about three-point defense. That's what it is. And Golden State's, man, they are fine-tuned and they got enough muscle in Draymond to not be completely fluff. I mean, they're insanely talented in what Curry does and the quick release. I'm not going to hate on that. And what he did for this little girl, Riley Morrison, is pretty fun. I think it's a fun story. You need more fun stories versus, hey, I'm mad you aren't coming to Louisville, Coach Brohm, so I want to burn your school down, than that crap.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, no, it's awesome. He's got two little girls, and you know, he's surrounded with his wife, so we, like, he gets the female approach from it. So he's going to take advantage of that. And it's a great thing to do, and it's a great thing to see. So good.
Are you
for him.
Are you yay or nay on Curry?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with the guy. I've never like gotten bothered by him. I he obviously does have a little bit more cockiness to him, but that kind of comes warranted with his performance, so It makes sense. No, I don't have a problem with him. What I was going to bring up, however, is get a load of this. The Warriors are about like a 10-point dog on the road versus the Raptors tonight.
Yeah, well,
when do you think was the last time they've been that much of a dog?
Don't you have to go back before, like the year before their NBA
probably
title run?
Yeah.
I mean, aren't we talking 5 years?
Yeah, I'm taking them, though.
Of course you are. Are you going to run out on sticking with the shoe theme and buy some New Balance shoes?
With Kawhi?
Kawhi.
It depends. There's just not a chance they're going to be cool, though.
I don't know. I mean, you don't like the new Balances?
I've never bought New Balances. Some of them are really cool. I've just never gotten them. But for like basketball shoes, no thanks. like I got KDs. Those are my basketball shoes.
Seriously?
I like them, yeah.
The new one, or are they the
They're from like a couple years ago, the low top ones.
Right.
I'm not a guy who like buys different shoes every year, especially basketball.
No,
ones,
hell no. We can't do that anymore. Growing up was great. Every year it was clockwork. Hey, Mom, I need basketball shoes. And they didn't have the guts to tell you, you're not going to play. I'm not spending that much on shoes for you. They just went along with it, nodded, and smiled. We'll wind down to Thursday. Danny Burke with the Thursday Night Football pick coming up.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Good to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Winding down a Thursday. Awesome show today. Had lots of fun talking about Adrian Martinez. And his slight to many. Good stuff from Gary Barnett, Parker Gabriel. Greg Smith was awesome with recruiting. Going to want to get the podcast or the in-demand section on the ESPN Lincoln app when you sign up for that. You got a chance to win $2,500. You can also download the entire podcast on ESPN Lincoln or iTunes. Very easy. Visit HailVarsity.com. Always check out the podcast. We'll get you qualified here for the holiday Hail Mary. Danny Burke, we are loaded tomorrow. We are going to have Brandon Vogel of Hail Varsity. We are going to have Dean Blevins from News 9 in Oklahoma. He's on his way to Big D, Jerry World for Oklahoma and Texas. And we are going to lock in with Husker fullback and Hall of Famer Joel Mankiewicz. We are on Uncle Jerry watch as well, maybe a DiNardo sighting. And the Pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman. So we're just all over it tomorrow to send you out the right way and getting you ready for the weekend edition. Okay, you have a couple of squads tonight. You have New Orleans playing exquisite football, and you have a team right now that is trying to, well, kind of prove they're for real, don't you? I mean, that's really the matchup right now. Dallas is better, and they just whacked Washington. I'm going to watch. I love watching Randy Gregory off the edge. What happens tonight here? It's in Jerry World. Things have been going too well. It's not technically Drew Brees' hometown, but it's his home state. How are you feeling here? What's the line? Give us the latest over-unders.
All right. So right now it's at 7.5. And here's the thing with that line. I feel like
Dallas and 7.5.
Yeah, and it's in a dome, so the Saints love the dome, obviously, but the public is all over the Saints, of course. Like, everyone and their grandmother, I told you, is on the Saints because they're a powerhouse team, and the Cowboys don't know if they proved themselves yet. But that's just, like, a thing how Vegas wins, you know, because everyone's on the Saints, and it's a high spread. They want the public to take it. But personally, I'm just sticking to the over. It's at, like, 51.5.
You're, like, done.
Yeah, I'm, like, I took the over, and I also did a teaser, so it's, like, a Saints pick 'em, and then the over, like, 44. But if you're putting a gun to my head for the spread, you have to take the Saints because they've just been killing it against the spread. Sure. I think they're going for 10 wins against the spread in a row. And then if they just demolish them, you feel like an idiot if you took the Cowboys, you know?
Yeah.
No, and then if you pick the Cowboys and they win, you could say it's smart, but I just say that's more you know, the Saints were due maybe not to cover, but.
Absolutely. Let's qualify you right now for the Holiday Hail Mary with ESPN and Hail Varsity. Good luck. Maybe.
All kinds of time.
It's the season to be merry.
Depths into the throw, in the wind.
Nipply out. I mean nippy out.
Down to the goal line.
We're going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap dance with Danny McKay.
Ho,
ho, ho.
Touchdown.
I want to hear the beginning again. I like the Bluto part. Can we do that?
Hey!
Three-man rush.
Let's just line around.
All kinds of time.
It's the season to be merry.
Depths into the throw, in the wind.
Nipply out. I mean nippy out.
Down to the goal line.
We're going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap dance with Danny McKay.
Todd!
Ho, ho, ho.
Touchdown!
All right, caller 8 and 9, you qualify. That drawing December 14th, Gregeth and Hooks will have it for you. It's a laptop. It's a $100 gift certificate to Jet Splash. It's a $100 gift card to Misty's Steakhouse and some free coffee. Log on Hail Varsity. Log on ESPNLincoln.com for all the goodies. Caller 8 and 9. Danny, you're awesome.
Good.
See you tomorrow.
Good
work. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow, 4 o'clock with Hail Varsity Radio, the podcast. On Hail Varsity or ESPN Lincoln. See ya.